Does anybody remember Family Matters at all? Little 90s sitcom action for you. Hey, starting a sermon series. Appreciate that, Robert. I put him on the spot this morning. And there's a lot of ways we could have won. I mean, I'm starting a series on Family Matters. I mean, I thought Home Improvement, but then there's Tim Allen, and some of y'all be trying to do the howl this morning, the Tim Allen bark or whatever it is. And then... further back, Roseanne, and I'm not sure that's the series that we want to highlight this morning or whatever, but Carl and Harriet Winslow and Family Matters and just sort of grown up watching some of those sitcoms, some of those things. And this morning I'm starting a new series called Family Matters, and those of you who know, been around here and know that it's a little bit out of my comfort zone. I don't tend to preach a series, if you will. I tend to sit down in the book, and we just sort of trudge through that thing. But I've had a sense of a burden for families, and in particular, marriages. And so just really since God leading me to come and preach on a series called Family Matters, and this morning I'm going to preach a message that I've titled Marriage Matters, and we're going to talk about parenthood matters and so on and so forth. And there was something really funny, Pastor Jay, happened to me whenever I became pastor at Victory Baptist Church in Backgate, and we were there 6 years, but it was my first time pastoring and being in full-time ministry like that, and so we hadn't been there very long, and Deidre goes and she finds a lady to cut her hair. And so she goes and sits down, and the lady had visited our church, this young lady visited our church a time or two. And so they're just having casual conversation, etc. And at some point in the conversation, the lady asked this of Deidre, because she knows I pastor and she's my wife, and said, "So I have a question." She said, "Okay." She said, "Do y'all have like normal fights?" And she's like, "What? Well, he's a pastor, you're a pastor's wife, and Danny, I know you don't know anything about this, but you know, we're just normal people, and we have normal fights, we have normal disagreements just like everybody else, etc. And so, it's just comical to us because sometimes being perceived as being in the ministry and all that sort of thing, that somehow we're exempt from just everyday life and normal relationship issues and all that sort of thing. And so, just in case, let me put you at ease. We're just like you, okay? We're broken and struggling and all those sorts of things. And so I don't preach this sermon series nor this message today as an expert on the matter, per se, other than just some things that God has taught us through the years. And Lord willing, should he tarry, we'll celebrate in July our 20th wedding anniversary. So, amen. Yeah. Pray for her, all right? Pray for her. Her ministry's been faithful. And we were really young when we got married. I know, we don't look old enough to be 20 and whatever. All right, so, hey, Ephesians chapter 5, if you have a Bible. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Again, want to echo Pastor Jay. It was awesome to see Caleb and Kenley join in holy matrimony yesterday. It was a lot of fun to get to see that and be a part. Pastor Jay, I did hear there was a side bet. I won't identify names, but of the over and under, how many times Jay might get choked up trying to lead that moment. And I'm not deer poking at him or making fun of him, because as he reminded me before I left yesterday, your day's coming. So I will tread cautiously here, okay? So, but anyway, it was a great day. Proud of those two young adults and excited to see what God does in and through their lives. Continue to pray for them and encourage them as you can. And so, Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to begin in verse 22. And so, if you are willing and able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Ephesians 5, 22. And the Bible says this, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that it might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. I thank you for all that you are and all that you do. God, we do long for the day in which you return. And God, if you see fit, may it be today. Should you tarry, I pray that more people would repent and believe on Jesus. God in heaven, I pray that you bind away the demons of hell away from this place, that you, Spirit of God, would have perfect liberty to work today. God, give me grace to preach as a dying man to a dying people about the risen Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me every word to say, nothing more and nothing less. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, this idea of marriage matters, and I realize the room is full of all sorts of different people, walks of life, and stages of life, for that matter. Some of you, I say we've been married 20 years, and you still tell me I'm wet behind the ears and got a whole long way to go, and I will receive that. Some are just beginning. Some are thinking about beginning. Some have been through divorce. Some have been through just some heartache and hard pains. And I well understand that the room could be full of all stages of life. Here's what I want to say to you before we go any further. Divorce is not the unpardonable sin. As we talk about this, I understand that for some this could bring about weight or conviction. If it's conviction from the Lord, then I would encourage you to respond to that. If it's guilt and weight, then I would encourage you to go, man, Jesus has promise if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I would just challenge you, no matter what stage of life you're in, I think there is something that the Word of God has to say for us this morning. Whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're planning to be married, whatever the case may be, I believe the Word of God has something for us this morning. So let me say this, the sermon in a sentence, the main idea is marriage matters in the kingdom of God. Marriage matters in the kingdom of God. The question then this morning is this, is does your marriage honor God? Does it honor the Lord? We're going to talk about this, but the marriage is a unique, special union between one man and one woman for life. That's the intended purpose, the design in which God has created marriage. It is unique. It is the special creation, and it is the special relationship that God ordains and sets aside this side of heaven. So there's some truth I want us to see from the Word of God. Wives and ladies in the room, I'm going to speak to you about the role of wife and women within the relationship. And men, I'm going to challenge you from the Word of God. I believe the Scripture has something to say to us. So number one, it matters that the wife submit to her husband. I knew I wouldn't get an amen there. You men aren't bold enough, all right? I understand, but I want you to see from the Scripture. Number one, it matters that the wife submit to her husband. Notice here, chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, here's some things we've got to understand as we enter in to talk about this. As Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, he is writing to them to teach them about marriage. It is with the understanding that both the husband and the wife are blood-bought, born-again believers, and that they are genuinely followers of Christ. So Paul has some things to say to individuals with the presupposition, with the assumption that they are born-again believers. Paul has other places in which he writes in a warning against those entering into marriage and to not do so if you are, quote, unequally yoked, meaning one is a believer and one is not. Why? Because as we talk about the message this morning and what Paul has to say, it is absolutely impossible to have a marriage that honors God where there is one believer who follows Jesus and the other, the spouse, does not follow the Lord Jesus. It is unequivocally impossible to have a marriage that honors God where there's unequally yoked. Those of you, many students in the room, thinking about marriage and thinking about finding somebody, the number one pre-qualification as to whether that individual has been set apart for you as a spouse is, do they know Jesus? If they don't know Jesus, if they've never surrendered their life to Jesus, let me tell you, that's not the will of God for you. At least not yet. Now, if they give their heart to Jesus, maybe that's a different story. But I'm telling you, student, this is the number one pre-qualification for every marriage on the planet. Do they know Jesus? And if they don't, you need to go find somebody else. It's not the will of God. So as we talk about this, it's with the understanding that both the husband and the wife, and yes, this is the design of God, okay, is that it is for one man and one woman for life. It is not man and man, woman and woman. That is not a marriage. That is not a union in the family of God. That is not a union that God honors and recognizes as a marriage. And I realize I'm going to say some things today that will make every person in the room probably squirm a little bit. But hey, God's called me to deliver a message to you, okay? And what I say is, I believe, is founded in Scripture. If you're not sure about that, go read Revelation 1, and the Old Testament is full of clear condemnation about this. One man, one woman surrendered to Jesus. Why so emphatic about that? Because number one, it matters that the wife submit to her husband. Notice verse 22 through 24. Wives, submit to your husbands, your own husbands, as to the Lord. Here's the picture. He is surrendered, okay? This is the assumption. He is surrendered to Jesus. Jesus is the head of his life. So wives, you're called to submit to him. Now listen to me. There's no fancy Greek here. There's no fancy hermeneutics that takes place for us to get around this. This is the design of God. This is the created order. God created Adam, and then he created Eve to serve under her and serve alongside him. But here's what I need you to understand. Because the wife is called to submit to her husband, listen to me carefully. This does not mean it devalues the wife. That couldn't be further from the truth. Culture and context want to say, well, if you submit to him, then you're less than him. That's a lie from the pit of hell, dear friend. The Word of God says, wives, submit to your husband because you're following. It is an equal value. It is a difference in roles. And so the Word of God says, wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord, for he himself is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. Now listen to me, husbands. You're called to be a man of God that loves Jesus in a way that makes it easy for the wife to submit to your leadership. In Jesus' name, I love you. I'll come down here and say it on both feet, okay? Love Jesus. Chase after him. Make him supreme. Make your relationship with Jesus so pure and undefiled that it is easy for your bride to follow and submit under your leadership. Wives, it's not your job to fix that in him. Pray for him. Encourage him. love him in Jesus' name. But men, run hard after Jesus. Make him supreme. Those of you that are engaged, those of you that are boyfriends, and man, you want to make some husband demands, but you're not living like a God-fearing man, and you've got no right or authority to do such. Wives, submit to your husbands. This is the picture that as this church, listen, I'm the senior pastor here, but I'm the under-shepherd. Let me explain what that means. This church has one shepherd, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I serve under His leadership. This church, in terms of earthly life and the way we operate, I love being a Baptist because on this side of heaven, in terms of how we function and operate as a denomination, this church is the, quote, highest form of authority. But let me, we use the word autonomous, but we're not autonomous. We submit to the Lord Jesus. We operate under Him. We are the bride of Christ. And this is the picture in which He gives. And we don't need to miss this because there will be some that try to argue context. Well, Pastor Chris, that was a long time ago and things have changed. It was a long time ago. Things have changed. But let me tell you what has not changed. The inerrancy and infallibility of the Word of God. Because notice the argument, okay? Go back to verse 22. He says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ. What's the argument in which Paul is making that the wife is to submit to her husband? Listen to me. It is the created order. It is not context. It is not culture. He talks about how at different times in different places there are things in which the Word of God says do this or do this, and context and culture matters. But in terms of what he is talking about here, the foundation on wives submitting to their husband is the created order that supersedes context and culture. It does not matter where you go in the world, where you get married, where you live, this truth still holds true that wives are to submit to their husbands and their leadership. Now listen to me, that doesn't mean that the wife does not have a voice. It doesn't mean that she is not valued. It actually means just the opposite, because here's what I know about good leadership. Good leadership elevate the values of those that are under them to make them shine and do well. And so when this is in right balance and in right order, the wife submits to the husband and that he is to lead the family. And listen to me, wives, I love you in Jesus' name, okay? Your husband might be a better leader than what you give him credit for. Yeah, no amen there. Amen. Amen, preacher. Anyway. You've heard it said that. Let me give you an example. He's the head of, he wears the pants in his family, but she tells him which ones to put on. We say it tongue in cheek. We say it tongue in cheek. I get it. And there's nothing wrong with a strong woman with a strong opinion, and there's nothing wrong with that. But dear friend, make sure it's in balance. Make sure you're submitting to her leadership or to his leadership. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in hymns and spiritual songs. 1 Peter 3:1 says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even as some do not obey the word, they without a word. I just wonder if y'all wake this morning. May be won with the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. You know what he says? He says it's not the design or will of God for you to be unequally yoked. And it's not the design and will of God for your husband to be abusive, abuse his authority or his role. It's not the design of God for him to check out. Listen to me, men. It's not the will of God for you to check out on this thing and just not be willing to lead. But what he says here is that when that is not being done, Paul said, you continue to faithful to pray and serve and be faithful and let God deal with this man. That by how you live, how you conduct yourself, how you go about your life and your business, be reflective of the love of Christ in such a way that he begins to look and go, man, I'm really missing out. I'm messing up. That's what he says. Go back and look in 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, that he's talking about the husbands. If they don't obey the word of God, they're not following the things of God. They, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. Here's what I would ask you, if some of you, and I realize some of you are in a covenant relationship with somebody who doesn't know Jesus. And listen, I can't imagine the turmoil. Here's what the greatest relationship on the planet in my life is my relationship with my bride. There's nothing like, I love spending time with her. But at the same time, I understand some of the times the most tumultuous and difficult relationship on the planet can be the relationship between a husband and a wife. And some of you are in those relationships, possibly. Some of you are struggling with that. Let me encourage you, dear friend. I don't say this lightheartedly. I don't say it in a way that I think it is easy. Continue to follow Jesus. Continue to love Jesus. Continue to pursue the things of Christ. Continue to love them with the love that Christ has placed in you and trust God to do what only He can. So, number one, it matters that the wife submit to her husband. Number two, it matters that the husband loves his wife. I want to read this lengthier passage from our text, and then we're going to break this down, okay? Because I know us husbands, we need it broke down, all right? So we're going to explain it, all right? Notice verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water of the word, that he might present her to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of this body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. He says love a whole bunch in that section. All right, so men, we're going to break it down. There's three aspects to loving your wife. A, love her sacrificially. Love her sacrificially. Notice verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church, and here it is, and gave himself to her. Husbands, when you entered into a relationship, when you said, I do, Lord willing, there were three individuals involved within that relationship. You, your wife, and God Himself. And the moment you entered into that relationship, and the moment you said, I do, you became the single least important person in that relationship. In terms of who to serve, you serve first the Lord and Him alone first. And then you serve your bride. For the rest of your life, you're to love her sacrificially. Self comes last. He said, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Here's the beauty of genuine, authentic, godly leadership. Godly leadership says, I'm entitled to have my way, but I choose to lay down my life. Is that not the picture of what Jesus did for us? If anybody was ever entitled in anything, Jesus, fully entitled to all the praise, all the worship, all the pomp, all the circumstance, all the things, and yet they crucified, yet he lays down his life for you and for me. And this is the picture that Jesus gives for you and I as husbands, that I am to love my bride in a sacrificial way, a way that puts her needs first, a way that makes her served or makes her feel served, that I do everything for her. I serve her sacrificially. John 15, 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. 1 Corinthians 13, 5 does not, talking about love, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Pastor Jay spoke on this yesterday at Caleb and Kinley's wedding in talking about choosing one another. And when you make those vows and those commitments, you make a vow, not that they will do those things to you, but rather you make a vow that I'm going to love them unconditionally in sickness and in hell till death do us part. That's sacrificial love. There's this trend going around on social media, and listen, I understand mental health and those things are a significant issue, a part of our society and culture. But I see these social media trends, and it's almost having pity, and it's talking about men going and working all day and coming home and trying to serve the family and all this sort of stuff. And hey, listen, dear friend, listen to me, husbands. That's our job. It's hard. It's supposed to be hard at times, and it's sacrificial. That's the point. Listen, the cross, even though that's what he's called to do, it wasn't easy to be on the cross. It was hard. Even as much as he loved you and loves his church, you and I are to love sacrificially. B, we're to love sanctifyingly. I know, don't expect me to say that more than once, okay? You know, you just put a L-Y on anything and you make it a word, right? But love her sanctifyingly. Notice verse 26 and 27. He says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Husbands, I wonder, do you think about loving your wife in such a way that she becomes more like Jesus? Do you think about how you and I mean, how I speak to my wife, how I encourage her, how I lead her? Do I lead her in such a way that she wants to spend more time with Jesus? Do I lead her in such a way that she wants to spend more time in around the family of God and the things of God? Love her in a sacrificial way, but to love her in a way that sanctifies her. Hey, and by the way, since we're here, let me tell you what doesn't sanctify her. Okay? Running her down to your buddies behind her back. Talking about a nagging wife or this or that. Stop. Man up. If there's some issues, then you and her need to have a conversation. If you can't reconcile, go find counseling. Go find godly counsel. Stop talking about your wife to your buddies in a negative way. Exalt her, lift her up, sanctify her, wash her by the word. Listen, I understand she's not perfect. I get it. But neither are you. And this is the single greatest relationship on planet Earth. Listen, I'm telling you, listen, I know it's fun and jokes, all that sort of stuff, but listen to me, men, we got to stop telling jokes about getting married and telling jokes about, he had his wedding yesterday or his funeral, whichever one you want to go. Like, I get it's funny, but man, we need to protect our brides. We need to love them. Man, speak highly of them. Encourage them. Because I'm telling you, dear friend, whether you realize they, I don't care if they're in the room and hear it or not, there's something about a woman she knows. Any kids in the room say amen? I don't know what it is, but they know. But I'm telling you right now, your wife knows how you talk about her. Sanctify her. Listen, your wife's about to get mad at me. I'm not saying, okay, because I realize this isn't every man, all that sort of thing, and you don't have to walk home from work, grab her by both hands, and sit her down and look her in the eye and tell her how beautiful all that green is. You may try it, okay, might go well for you. But I'm just telling you, man, you protect your wife. You sanctify her. You set her apart. I'm telling you, friend, you can say a whole lot of things about me and a lot of my family, a lot of different things, but you begin to say something about my wife, and we're going to have problems, all right? I'm going to tie them shoes up tight, okay? You may whip my tail, but I'm gonna give it all I got. Sanctify her. She is set apart. He says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Wearsby wrote it this way. He said, the love of the husband for his wife ought to be cleansing her so that both are becoming more like Christ. He goes on to speak about the physical aspects of that as well. Let me just say this, and I realize we have kids in the room, that God has set aside that person that you may be together and enjoy intimacy. It is not wrong to enjoy it, but let me tell you this, that God has set aside that person for you. Your eyes and eyes are only for them. Your thoughts and your desire is only for them. You should protect that. Protect that. Wives, be careful about who you emotionally engage with and talk about your relationship with, because you will begin to set up something that the enemy will get a toehold in your marriage or your relationship, and it'll tear it wide open. I went to the dentist this week, and a hygienist unloaded on me about how, man, that's exactly what happened. I didn't ask for it, all right? I've just got a face that has say, hey, tell me things, all right? I don't know how that happens, but it just happens. 1 Corinthians 7:3-5 says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourself a fasting and prayer. Come together again, listen to this, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of control. Dear friend, intimacy is a part of marriage. God designed it. It is to be good. It is not to be used as a weapon. And I want to encourage you that you, man, if it's not there and you need counseling, go find counseling. But dear friend, holding it back causes the other one to go seek it elsewhere. Do you hear what I'm saying? They are not right in that, but I'm telling you, dear friend, there is something special that is set apart for the design of marriage to be enjoyed, and it is good. It is a part of the design of God. And so, we ought to love them sanctifyingly. See? Love her satisfyingly. Everybody okay? Man, Pastor Jay, everybody was singing, stirred up, and I don't know what happened. We got tents in the room, all right? Maybe we need to come back and sing "I'll Fly Away" or something. I don't. I got a sound test. Love her satisfyingly. Notice verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. So he who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. If we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Again, this goes back to when We are in right relationship with God, in right relationship with one another. We are to be unequivocally satisfied in our relationship needs with that person. We just talked about physically, and I alluded to the emotional part. Men, you shouldn't have another woman in your life that there are some things that are off limits. You should never talk about with another woman outside of your mama or your sister. You even need to be guarded there. Okay? Women, wives, shouldn't be another man in your life that you're unloading some emotional and some things going on in your marriage or where you're at. You need to guard that. Guard it. Husbands are to love their wives. Notice what he says, verse 28. Love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Listen to me. Yes, you are the head of the household. She submits to your leadership. But dear friend, as you love her well, as you fulfill your command that God has given from His Word, it does nothing but benefit your life. Why? Because the two have become one. There's a union there that is not like any other relationship on the planet. Hey, listen to me. The single greatest relationship is husband and wife. It's not mother and child. It's not father and child. And I realize some of you mamas going, you don't know about my baby. Yeah, I do. But I'm telling you that that relationship, mother and child, and I realize I haven't been through childbearing and all that sort of, I get it, okay? I get where you're coming from. But there's one relationship that says that two people become one. That's the beauty of watching a marriage yesterday. If Caleb and Kinley became joined as one. And that means, he says, you've got to come out. He says that, verse 31, for this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and two shall become one. Young adults is thinking about getting married. Listen to me, I'm telling you that one of the most important things, you've got to draw boundary lines around people in your life, and one of those is mama and daddy. You got to draw boundary lines. There's been many marriages that have really struggled and have been lost because some of those boundaries were not drawn. You're to come out from those things, two joined as one. And so husbands were to love her in a way that satisfies her and satisfies with the call of God on her life. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body is talking to the church, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. By loving her well, it edifies her and it makes it easier for her to submit to your leadership, and it makes it easier for the relationship to reflect the plan and purposes of God. So, number one, wives, it matters that you submit to your husband. Number two, husbands, it matters that you love your wife. Number three, it matters that the wife respects her husband. Listen to me, wives, okay? Let me have your attention for just a moment, all right? I think, it's just me, okay? Dangerous ground, I get it. I think, if you've never seen this, this could be a pivotal teaching moment that could completely change your marriage. I know that's a big statement, but I want you to notice something, okay? We're going to do this. I didn't plan to do it. I want you to flip back to verse 22, okay? 5:22. Wives, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to try to read a little bit faster. I want you to mark or underline every time the wife is told to love her husband. Okay? Are you ready? Verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. But he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of this body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respect her husband. How many times was the wife told to love her husband in that passage? Not a single time. What under heaven just happened? Hold on, okay? Hey, listen, y'all can probably tell, even if this is your first time hearing me preach, I don't read as much as I should, okay? All right? If you're a reader, even if you're not, if you're getting ready to get married, if I could make every couple in this room read a book besides the Bible, I would have you read this book. It is called Love and Respect, by Egrich. Don't ask me to spell his last name. It's got two G's in that joker, all right? Egrich, all right? If I had a bunch of them, I'd have them at the back door and give them away to you, all right? Maybe we'll order some, I'll give them away. But if I get you to read that, if you're getting ready to get married, go read that book, okay? Here, all right? We need to talk a minute, all right? This is family talk. Wives, let me help you something, okay? Yes, men and women are created differently. We have different roles, different responsibilities. We're wired differently. If you've been married for 18 hours, Caleb and Kinley are figuring this out. They've already figured it out, right? They're wired differently. They think they knew, right? They don't know yet, all right? But you know men and women are wired differently. Let me just briefly talk about this for a moment. Wives, it is really important to you to not only know that you are loved, but to feel that you are loved. Amen? Some of you willing to participate. Thanks for playing. All right. It's really important to you to know and feel that you are loved. Yes, you want to be respected. There's no doubt about that. But for most women, your sense of feeling loved far supersedes your thought about being respected, okay? When your husband does something and you begin to question his motive, whatever it is, you don't tend to first run to, does he respect me? You first usually run to, does he love me? Amen? Men, if your wife does something and your marriage gets off kilter, rarely do you ever question, does she love me? But you begin to question, does she respect me? Egrich explains it with blue and rose-colored glasses. I'll explain it this way, that we each have a radar. Women have a radar that they sense quickly something being done, and they begin to meet. If that radar goes off, there's a doubt of, do they love me? Men don't have that radar. We've got a radar of respect, of something being disrespectful. So how does this work? How does this play out then? What happens is something is done, and the man, this is the man's approach. The man's approach said, on my wedding day, I said, I do, and I love you, and if it changes, I'll let you know. Men, I mean, it's like going, well, I'll let you know if the status changes, but last I told you, I love you, and that settles it. Because there's never a question of love for men. Rarely is there a question, not just universal across the board, but rarely is there a question for love. But let me tell you something about a man. A man rarely questions your love, but he will question whether you respect him. And so what happens is, Egrich explains this as a crazy cycle. You do something, and she questions whether you still love her, The wife does something because she doesn't feel loved, and then he doesn't question whether he feels loved. He questions whether you respect him. And we begin operating at a place of, I feel disrespected and she feels unloved. And we get on this crazy cycle and we start going down this rabbit trail. We wonder how we even got there. And she feels unloved and he's going, well, I told you at the wedding day, dadgum, what do you... And she's going, well, of course I respect you. I just don't know if you love me. If you don't believe this, okay, if you don't believe this about respect, okay, spend some time around some men or have a group of men. They're standing in a circle or whatever, and there's some kid that spouts off to mama, all right? That group of men, immediately, they turn around. They got hackles up on the back of their neck. Like, man, there's sweat pouring down them going, don't you dare respect your mama. Don't you dare disrespect your mama. It happens quickly. We have a radar on respect, and wives have it on love. Notice the text here, verse 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Wives, let me tell you this. You want to turn your husband into a Superman? You make it unequivocally clear that you respect him. We don't do a whole lot of necessarily cards or what have you in our house. But since my wife, somebody shared this with us, and she'll sign or send a card. And she won't sign it, I love you. She'll sign that I respect you. Because she respects me, I know she loves me. I don't question that. Church family, I know life is hard and marriages get really difficult. And they get really nasty and they get really hard. But the family unit is, there's nothing that can do what the family does on planet Earth. And that covenant relationship, one man with one woman, is God's design. Husbands, you ought to love your wives like there's no tomorrow. Make sure they know. Satisfyingly, sacrificially, sanctifyingly. Wives, submit to their headship. It's God's design. And do all that you can to respect them. Wives, just like I said, man, you know when your husband's not upholding you in the presence of others. Let me tell you something. Your husband knows whether you really respect him or not. He's got a radar detector. You're not pulling wool over his eyes. Say, well, I don't know if he deserves my respect. I didn't see that as a qualifying statement here. When you said I do, you said I will respect him. Husbands, be a husband, be a man that's worthy of respect. Proverbs 31, 11, and 12 says, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. I know, we're late. I got out early last week. I'm making up for it, all right? Is there anything under more attack in our nation and in our world than the family unit? You think about identity, you think about genderism, you think about homosexuality, I mean, just feminist movement, so many things, and it's attacking the family unit. And I realize, man, we're going to be late, and here's what I want to do, okay? You thought I made you uncomfortable. I'm fixing to make you uncomfortable, all right? If you don't know Jesus, we're going to have an invitation. I'm going to stand down here for about 30 seconds. And if you need to come and give your heart to Jesus, I'll be standing there waiting on you. I want to have a conversation with you. That's the single most important decision you'll ever make. But then if nobody comes, let me tell you what I'm going to do, and I'm going to invite every man to join me in this. I'm going to go over and get my bride, and we're going to come and kneel, and I'm going to pray over her out loud. Preacher, I don't even pray out loud over my food. Well, get over it. Get over it. Well, I'm not married yet. If you plan to get married, get your fiance and get down here and pray. If one day you want to, get down here and pray. I realize there are some that physically, whatever the case may be, you can't come kneel and pray. If you want to come sit on a pew, then you come sit on a pew. If you just want to pray, lean over and pray over them right then that's fine. Well, I'm none of those things. Well, man, maybe one day God's got a plan for you. Pray that God will help you. Maybe you're a single mama raising kids. Pray that God will help you raise young men and young ladies that'll be incredible husbands and wives one day. Teach them this. Help them. Whatever it is. If you don't know Jesus, you come. I'm going to pray and I'm going to stand down here. You better come quick. Husbands, I'm going to encourage you to lead your bride. I know I'm putting you on the spot. You can get mad at me. I love you in Jesus' name. If here's the deal. Satan has circled and targeted, and the target has been acquired for your marriage. He wants to destroy it. And you and I need to pray for our marriages. Your wife needs to hear you pray over her. Let me encourage you with this, okay? Even if you don't come this morning and do that, and then we're going to pray. I got to quit. Husbands, let me encourage you to do this. Every day before you leave the house, or I don't know, maybe you get it way too early, you got to do it. Do all that you can to not let there be a day go by that your wife does not hear you pray for her out loud. It'll change your marriage. It will change your marriage. Pray out loud over your wife every day at some point. I realize there's sickness. You don't have to be religious about it, but most days, all right? Let's pray and let's respond to what God has for us.